Thank you, Father, we can come together, Lord, today to your word. We ask you, Lord, that we open our ears, our eyes, enable us to understand, to receive, Lord, and appropriate all the good things that you have for us. We just praise and thank you for everything you have done and the things you are going to do even today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to continue to talk about the fear of the Lord. I really think this is possibly the most important topic for today. Not just for today, I mean for these days. And we're going to see some of the reason for that. But really, you know, this is the key to a successful life. Without that, you are not protected. As simple as that, especially today. Okay? You know, and that Jesus talked about, you know, the thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy. Give you life more abundantly. I came to give you life more abundantly. And if you want to see the abundant life, don't look around today. Because there isn't. Look at Jesus. Jesus is the type, is the evidence, the true abundant life. He's the one that should be our example. And what he did, you know, if you remember, you know, in Isaiah 11, says very clearly that he rejoiced, rejoice in the fear of the Lord. That's really the basic and the critical element that made all the difference in his life, more than all the other things. And we're going to see some things, I don't know if today, because, how the fear of the Lord worked in him. And how that was what actually gave him the victory that he achieved. That's what the word says, not myself. So let's go back to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Okay, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. That's God speaking. That's the Holy Spirit telling us God's position, okay? And it should be an indication, okay, that, really the same way you're thinking, if we are aligning ourselves up with God, you know, we should have the same feelings, the same attitude, you know, that is described here, okay? To hate, and really the word there is really hate, okay? It's really that, to be an enemy of. To really, you know, not have anything to do with that. They're just rejecting that completely evil, okay? And, you know, and the evidence and the characteristics of that, you know, that one reject is pride, arrogance, and from that what happens is the evil way. And we end up doing the things that are evil, and the word they're evil implies something that hurts, something that does damage to us and others, okay? Then goes on and say, continue, because one of the manifestation of the lack of the fear of God is what comes after, and is repeated many times in the scriptures. It says, a perverse mouth I hate. It's not just that he was saying everything that was coming before, but you see, the perverse mouth, this is what is the general manifestation of the lack of the fear of the Lord. We can see in many other scriptures, and we are going to bring it up, you know, later on, possibly today or whatever. Okay. The idea is, what is a perverse mouth? Is a mouth, and the word there, you know, implies a turning like mouth, you know, something that, uses words deviously, lying, deceiving words. distorting the truth, especially distorting the word of God. Okay. And that's why it's so important for us to understand and to recognize. But, you know, to recognize it, we have to be able to know the scripture first. Because lots of people preach and think, you know, because they don't mention Jesus, but it's not really what they're preaching. They preach a different gospel. And we have to be very careful about that, because that's the deception of, you know, the is coming just from pride and arrogance, that they think that they can add or subtract from the word of God. Okay, and that very clearly is said in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, 19, that produces, okay, distorting the word of God produces a curse, produces project, you know, the wrath of God coming. Okay, we have to understand that. Okay, so it's very important for us to know, to recognize those things, so that we can do something about, so that we can protect ourselves. And the way to recognize it, you know, one of the things that really helpful is the fear of God, by which we just don't take things because we hear them, or because they are said in a certain way, or because they are said on people that we think are okay. We go and check the word. We go and check the truth, like the Berean church. They went to see if really the scripture says that. And we have to do that all the time. With everything that we get, every new thing that we get, that should be our reaction. That should be our position. Okay? Because we have to know for sure. Okay? Now, okay, in the Old New Testament, there are very specific instructions about the fear of the Lord. And we have to see, okay, they apply to us, okay. And actually, they are really, you know, even more important, because the fear of, you know, the Holy Spirit is in us. If you are born again believers, the Holy Spirit should be in you, and you should be able to hear, you should be able to hear directing you and advising you about things, about what you should take and what you should not take. Okay, so it's very important. And now, you know, the thing is, compared to the Old Testament, in which it was talking about the fear of the Lord by itself, you know, now we have so much more. We are in a great advantage position today. We, you know, at that time in the Old Testament, didn't have Bibles, maybe a number of Bibles in their house like we can have today. It was something, it was really rare even to get anything like that. You had to go to the synagogue to get anything like that, because it was far too expensive. Now we are blessed to not just have one translation, but to have many. We are blessed to even have a program, computer program, that helps us to do the studies on the word without saving us enormous amount of time. We should take benefit. We should use what Lord has given us, especially because today is a really important time to do that. Okay? Praise the Lord. But we have the Holy Spirit now, in addition to the abundance of words of Bibles around us. The Holy Spirit that is the one revealing the truth that is there, to the one that is pointing out the things that we believe that are in disagreement with that. The one that is pointing out the things that we have to understand and change in ourselves. They didn't have that the same way. Okay? They didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Okay? He speaks to believer, no matter what anybody thinks. He just deals with us personally. That's why Jesus sent it to us, and that's why Jesus said, you know, it's advantageous for me to go, because otherwise I cannot send you the helper, the one that is there to help you, to comfort you, to guide you, and to direct you. But, you know, it's useless if you have a, you know, something to guide you, if you have a GPS in the things and you don't turn it on in the car. You need to turn it on and then listen to it, not just go your own way. Have you ever get lost, you know, following the GPS? I did. Sometimes even the GPS is wrong. Hello? But the Holy Spirit is never wrong because He's God. He knows exactly very well the things that we need to know. Praise the Lord. So we are, you know, in a position of advantage, but we had to realize that and take that seriously. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, it's talking about the fear of God there too. Verse 25 says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks." Okay. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, was Moses, okay, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speak from heaven. That kind of should be putting a bit of the scare of the Lord inside us. Okay? Because there is saying, you know, we should be much better, and they didn't have a good ending. We don't want that to happen to us. Okay? The children of Israel, okay, did not escape for not listening, because they refused to hear, to listen, to obey the direction they were getting. Much more for us is the truth. Okay? We had to, so what? How we had to do, what we had to do. Okay, the important thing is we start cultivating the fear of the Lord. Especially in these days when there is so much confusion in the world. Okay, so, says, you know, the what was speaking them, you know, was voice, then shook the earth, but now, He has promised, saying, yet once more I shall shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. So it's going to be a greater shake-up than the one that the children of Israel had at their time. Okay? That means the consequences are going to be bigger than they were there. Okay? Once more means a second time. And it's going to be a major shaking. Okay? Much stronger. Involving even not the earth, but even the heaven. Okay? So that is what it's telling us. And we involve, you know, our spiritual walk and discernment that we had to recognize, understand, and apply what the Lord is saying, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, what the Word says. Okay? And really, okay, the shaking is the removal. Okay? Once more, you know, He indicate the removal of those things which are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. So you see, everything that is man-made is going to be removed. And really, we had to go to the scripture to see really what's going to be taking place. Okay, and we're doing that. But you know, what is important, okay, that even all man-made doctrines and theology is going to be dealt with so that we are going to be able to see and understand, and we have to respond, be able to be awake in a time like this. Okay. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no one deceive you by any means. The day will not come unless the fall away comes first. And the man of sin will reveal the son of perdition." So you see, here he's telling us, don't be surprised, but you know, that has to happen first. Okay, there has to be this revelation. And I believe that we are moving quickly toward that, because there are so many evidences, and I'm going to mention one here, okay, within the church. Okay? Now, the falling, you know, the talking about here, you know, the falling away is apostasy, is the people that are in the church will just renounce to their faith. That, you know, is change the truth for a false and renounce to their faith and fall away. That's what he's saying to us. Doesn't talk about revival like lots of people talk about today. There is no mention once there's going to be revival before the coming of the Antichrist. Not once. There is a mention is going to be revival before the coming, the second coming of Jesus, which is not at the beginning of the tribulation. It's at the end. That's when the revival is going to take place. When people are waking up, realizing what's going on, I'm not the only one saying that. Okay. But the one that's talking about revival, are they looking at some things that are actually everything but revival? Now, let me continue here. Praise the Lord. You know, it's important to understand these things. And the typical example are some doctrines that are evolving these days. They have been around on the urban ground for some time. And what that doctrine is, we are gods. That's the satanic rebellion against God. They started at the beginning and now is manifesting again as the enemy started to penetrate the church to put this doctrine in the church. You be careful. Don't be sucked in by those lies, those demonic lies. Okay? Says, we may continue here. That to me is what sounds the alarm when that is spoken openly. Before it was done underground. Now it's spoken openly. And there are consequences for that. We'll see that. But then we continue here. See, this is exactly what's going to be taking place and was, you know, predicted or prophesied about, okay, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the following verse says, "Then the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." They are saying that already. Not the Antichrist is coming. Never in the history of Christianity something like that happened before. Now, there are lots of other things. They are not openly saying that, but essentially what they do is the same thing. Praise the Lord. Thing is, we have eyes to see and ear to hear so that we are not fooled by these lies. Okay. Praise God. Now, so me continue here in the Hebrew chapter 12. Okay. And this is really the thing that where I was talking before, Hebrew chapter 12, verse 28 says, okay, "Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve acceptably with reverence and godly fear." You see, it is the fear of the Lord that opens our eyes to these things. Without the fear of the Lord, we cannot have understanding, wisdom, knowledge, anything. Because those are the result of that. That's how Jesus operated. Now, okay, the following verse says, you know, for our God is a consuming fire. Okay, he's just a consuming fire. Is the fire burns all the chaff, burns all the lies, burns all the things that shouldn't be there. And the only thing that remains there, when you put gold in there, it remains the gold, the things that is not affected by the fire. Okay, this is the purification that has to take place and is taking place. It will be completely manifested. So let's go back to the warning. You know, the typical warning is the one I already shared on Thursday, I think, something, but I'm going to continue here. Okay, in Psalm 2, talks about the princes of the earth. Okay, and you know, there are different ways of calling that, but really what it means are those who direct their life according to their own will instead of being submitted to the will of God. Okay, instead of being listening to what God is saying and the word and apply to it. So, no, they do their own thing. It says, you know, there in verse 9, okay, that when Jesus comes, we're talking about when he comes, okay, yeah? Okay. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter vessel. So this is the second coming, the one I was mentioning before. Okay. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Okay, this is talking about all people that are operating according to earthly ways. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. It's all very interesting. All the time when it talks about the fear of the Lord, always there is a rejoicing between the fear and the trembling. Actually, this is the only way to keep the rejoicing going. There is no other way in the flesh that you can rejoice. You have to be in the spirit. You have to be connected with God. Okay? Especially the time we are in. Okay? So serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Okay? So that should be the reaction that we have when we see these things, the rulers trying to rule the world in an ungodly way, in their way. We should rejoice at the same time, having keeping ourselves close and connected with God. The Son continues, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Okay. And you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled by a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. You see, all those who put their trust in him will be blessed. Okay. Those are not going to be affected by these things. They are going to have a connection with a kingdom that is not of this world, a kingdom that is supernatural, that has the ability to make everything different in their life. Kiss the Son, you know, could be translated also, you know, the fact that fasten yourself to him. Attach yourself with your affection to him. Okay, it's an expression of gratitude and an expression of being closely connected. Okay. Without the fear of the Lord, you know, you cannot trust him. Only as you trust him, and you know, the trust of the Lord and the fear of God go hand in hand. They go together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, that's why Jesus said in John, you know, in many places, okay, that God takes care of his people. God looks after his people. Matthew 10:28 says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Hallelujah. But rather fear him, it was capitalized, whom is able to destroy both body and soul and body in hell, which is God. Okay. So that's what we should fear him. Okay. And fear him, you know, is more. See, I heard a number of people preaching about the fear of the Lord. The only thing that they stress is reverence. And that is not even one-tenth of what the fear of the Lord is. Just reverence is not enough. There is much more than reverence involved. Much more actual impact and result in the life of those who fear the Lord. There are some amazing things, actually, that happen to those who fear the Lord. Now, and they continue there in the following verses, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from the Heavenly Father, you know, will. But the very hair of your head are all numbered. So the idea is God knows exactly very well everything. You should not fear for the worldly things. You should connect with the fear of the Lord, because that is going to guide you to victory without being deceived by the things that are going on in the world. Okay. And the following, you know, Matthew 6:33 is, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. It doesn't say there, you know, seek to resolve all your problems, because you can't. Okay? You don't have the ability, but God does. He's the one that came. He's our Savior. You cannot save yourself. That's the only thing you have to do. Connect with him. How you do that? You give God priority. You start following, you know, you start applying the first commandment to love your God with everything you got. And as you love your God, all the things come into place, because you seek his righteousness and he is going to look after you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is what, you know, the concept that I was, I think, talking about last week or the week before, you know, is the eyes of the Lord. Okay, the eyes of the Lord in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, you know, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. To do what? To show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You see, this is really the key that happens from, you know, the heart, our heart being loyal to him or being committed to him. The degree on which our heart is committed to him is going to determine the way God is going to be dealing with us. And this is really continued in many different scriptures. Okay, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. You see, the physical need that you have, the what that you, you know, you come to him to receive, you know, his ear is open to you. He is going to respond to your things. You don't need to fix your problem. He will. That's what it's saying there. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, who cut the remembrance of from the earth. So he doesn't do that yet, but he will. And so we have to be ready for that. See, God look at who does evil, who is, you know, has a righteous relationship with him. This is not just a theoretical thing. It's, you know, that the judgment that God makes on you is reflecting what you are, the position of your heart. Doesn't reflect that you some time ago said a prayer. Doesn't reflect that, you know, your doctrines is right. He just look at what you do, and what from what you do, he knows why you do it, and he knows your heart and understand, and he judges you accordingly. And if anybody that says it does not, has not read the Bible. Praise the Lord. Okay. The Lord can see your heart. Okay. Doesn't look at your theology. Doesn't look at what you believe mentally. Okay. You can fool yourself. You can fool everybody else. But you cannot fool God. God sees your intention and why you do the things you do. Okay. Praise the Lord. See, the fear of the Lord gives something to you that you cannot get any other way. You cannot get it by education. You cannot get it by studying. You cannot get it any other way. It says it very clearly in Job 28:28. Says, and to my, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and apart from evil, that is understanding. See, there is no way to get understanding and wisdom except by the fear of the Lord. I taught in university for many years. And everybody there was very well educated. Sometimes had more than one PhD and stuff like that. And I haven't seen ever a bunch of people that are more messed up than they were. Never. The last university I went through was here when I was teaching computer science, system development. I couldn't even go there. The only thing you could do is get drunk with the secretary of the department that I wouldn't even want to go there. And they were educated. And the previous of the years that I went to other places was exactly the same way. The fact that somebody is well educated doesn't mean has any wisdom and any understanding. That's the only way for you to have wisdom and understanding is really to have the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord opens your eyes. Enable you to see things that otherwise you would not be able to see. Enable to have the wisdom to know. See, wisdom is the ability to know what to do in actual situation. Understanding is that you can be able to see through what's going on so that you can make the right decisions. Okay? Well, there are so many scriptures, okay, that show exactly these principles. There are almost too many, and there are many others that expand even on that so that we, by reading, just simply reading about the fear of the Lord should give us so much faith to know what to do and to know where to stand. In Psalm 18, there are a number of psalms. And you say, well, this is Old Testament. But before we read something from the New Testament and show the time we are in. Okay, what goes through in the Old Testament is going to apply, even multiply many times with us because we have much better, more scripture, we should know more scripture. We should also, have the Holy Spirit directing, empowering, teaching, and ministering to us, comforting us when things are difficult. Okay. Psalm 18:27 says, for you will save the humble people, but you will bring down the haughty looks. You see, the pride is the worst things. Pride is what blocks us from being able to see, that's exactly the spirit of Antichrist. Pride is the one that says, I can do it by myself. I don't need God. I am God. I am my God. Okay. So pride is the things that really produce it. But the humble people, God is going to save. Okay. The following verse is even better. That applies to us directly. It says, "For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." See, even the areas that you don't know, darkness means, you know, that you don't see. Well, there I say, you are my lamp, and through the things I said before, okay? He's going to enlighten you. He's going to open your eyes to enable you to see and understand so that you can have the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding to be able to do what is right and what is wrong. Praise the Lord. You see, the typical example was David. David, you know, when he committed adultery and murder, you know, he was blinded. He had darkness at the moment by his lusts and his desire. And so he didn't even see it. He just kept going. Although, says, you know, David had the heart after God. But, you know, the thing is the temptation comes and we get blinded. Are you hearing me? Okay. But didn't take much. When the prophet went and confronted him, he realized what was going on. Their eyes were open. You see, the prophet had to go there to wake him up, to put light in his darkness. We don't need any prophet. We had the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. They should be just pricking us all the time when we get into some stupid thing and we get into darkness. So we are advantageous in a place of position for victory. God has done everything that he can do to give us victory, and we should just rejoice in him that he has done such a way that, you know, we have no excuse if we keep falling. Because we have somebody there pricking us on the back, say, you know, wake up, be awake. But, you know, he's going to do that through the word. And that's what the prophet did with David. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, many, many scriptures in the Bible talks about this work of the Holy Spirit, or with the work that has happened in me, that is actually triggered by the fear of the Lord. Okay, that's really what the Holy Spirit needs for us to respond, because otherwise we become indifferent. Okay, let me go to Psalm 34. There's quite a bit there on the Holy Spirit. Many of the Psalms are there, but there are quite a few verses here. They're going to minister to us. Okay. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him." Hallelujah. "And delivers them." I mean, so that means when we are under attack, we are not by ourselves. If we fear God, you know, the angel of the Lord are going to be around us to not just, help us, okay, but it's to, you know, where am I? Yeah, okay, yeah, to, you know, encamp around us, to protect us and to deliver us. Praise the Lord. Continue there. Verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." You see, again, the fear of the Lord, okay, and the fact that, you know, God is good are connected. The people that are not trusting God cannot say that God is good, because they are not going to be able to prove it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, the condition for us to be able to say the Lord is good in truth is because we experienced, because we were, you know, the fear of the Lord has directed us so that we were awake and we can actually, we are actually seeing that he is good. We have tasted it. Okay? Praise the Lord. See, this is why it says also, for example, in Proverbs 5, you know, 3, 5 to 10, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, you know, with your, you know, acknowledge him and he will guide you. See, that's the same principle. Fear the Lord is going to guide you because you are sensitized, because you are aware, you are awake. Okay. Let me continue. Psalm 34, verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord. Who? You, his saints. See, it doesn't say to the world, fear the Lord. Why? Because it will be a waste of time. He's talking about saints. That means saints should fear the Lord. Okay? Okay. You, his saints, there is no want to those who fear him. So you want to be in the place in which you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Well, you better fear the Lord. Because as you fear the Lord, you are a sheep, otherwise you are a goat. You see how many angles this deals with this in so many different ways to show for us, okay, number one, that we can be confident in our position. That we can actually not just talk about things or try to work hard to get things. It's not us. It's him doing it on behalf of us, for us, the way he did it at the beginning, the way we are saved. We are not saved for the works, our works that we do. But once we are saved, we do good works. Are you still with me? See, addressing saints, okay, not unbelievers for these things. Hallelujah. Let's continue, yeah, again. Psalm 34, verse 10. Okay. You, the young lions, lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall lack no good things. Okay, the young lion is the same thing as the, you know, chapter, Psalm 2, you know, talking about the ruler, the kings of the earth, the young lion. Lion is the one, somebody that thinks, you know, I'm young, I'm strong, I can do it, I have the ability, I'm going to do it myself, I do it my way. And it says there, you know, the young lion, so it's the same thing as them, not one, not depending, you know, the young lion lack and suffer anger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good things. Praise the Lord. The following verse says, come, you children. He's talking about the children here. He's talking about actually believers. Okay. People that need to grow up. Okay. Listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. See, one thing we can learn there. The fear of the Lord is not automatically there. The Holy Spirit has to teach us the fear of the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit is speaking there. Okay. So we have to grow. Okay, we have to, and we can talk about how we can do to make the fear of the Lord grow in us. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It produces all this good fruit. Okay. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. So it must be taught. But you know, it's no use if somebody teaches us if you are not willing to listen. So we have to listen and to be able to will to apply to ourselves and to go with it to be able to actually see results. Okay? So, following verse, Psalm 34, verse 12. Who is the man who desires life? Is that difficult to find? Everybody does. All right? And loves many days. That you see may and may see good. So, really he's talking about, you know, you want a long life, you want a good life. You want not just have many days, but really good days to get a good life. Well, you know, this is the things, the desire life and may see. You know, what does he have to do? Following verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So you see, that is what he's talking about here, is what, you know, we said before, I hate evil, I hate Holy Spirit, I hate a lying spirit. So those things are things that we had to watch for, and these are the things that we had to do. That's what's going to produce the long life, good life, okay, and continue there, you know, verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace, pursue it. So that's really all connected with the way he started talking about the fear of the Lord. So there is lots of promises here based on the fear of the Lord. Sometimes, you know, we want the promises, but we don't understand the conditions. See, the condition is what determines us to be able to receive the promises. No matter if it's Old Testament or New Testament, okay, this is good. Old Testament or New Testament, you know, the principles are exactly the same. God does not change. What he hated in the Old Testament, he is in the New Testament. So we had to align ourselves, and we are going to be, you know, understand the way he works, and then things are going to be much easier. You see, it's not the work that we do that delivers us. You know, is we call upon him, and he delivers us. Psalm 91. Let me continue. I just didn't go ahead. Just wanted to get, you know, another psalm that talks about this, okay, is really good. This talk shows us, you know, really what the benefit of a man who feared the Lord. Okay. So Psalm 128, verse 1 says, blessed is everyone. Everyone includes us, isn't it? Amen? Okay, everyone who fears the Lord. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You see, fearing, be able to walk in the way of the Lord, you have to fear the Lord, otherwise you cannot do it. That. Okay, because that's what keeps you there. Okay. It says, see how the blessing works. What, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. So that's the thing. I mean, you are going to be eating what you have produced, and you are going to be happy about it. You are going to be satisfied. You are going to be fulfilled. Let's see, but it doesn't stop there. Okay, so you eat the labor of your hand, and you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Okay, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Now you can turn it around for a week. Your husband. It's the same thing. Okay? So you want that, don't you? Absolutely. That's a great blessing. Okay. Okay. So your children, like olive plants all around you, your table. That's another great promise. See, it shows all your family together, because of the fear of the Lord that you have, that is imparted on the people in your family. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It hasn't finished yet. Okay. Praise the Lord. Your family shall be, you know, heart on your house. Your children shall be like plants all around your table, holy plants around your table. Behold, thus shall be the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, that can be more specific. He said it at the beginning, he said it at the end, and he said all in between, that it isn't going to touch you only, it's going to touch all your family. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes people mean well, but they lack wisdom. And the typical example is somebody that then got wisdom, but at the beginning didn't. Paul was one of them. I mean, Paul definitely, you know, was one of the major writers of the Old New Testament. Nevertheless, what happened when he was, you know, just got saved? He went around and created messes all over the place. Paul the apostle. Okay. He went around and created difficulty for all the church in Jerusalem, to the point that they had to get rid of him, dropping it down in a basket out of the walls. Okay. That shows that even somebody that should know better, because he didn't have the fear of the Lord yet properly implanted in him, he just had lots of good revelation and theology, but that wasn't enough. All his knowledge wasn't good enough to make him walk right. He needed to be dealt personally by God, and he was dealt by God personally for 3 years in the desert. He was corrected and fixed. But here it says, in Acts chapter 9, after he made all that mess, says, and they finally got rid of him. Okay? Says, verse 9, verse 31, then the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified. Before, he, with all his good intention, he was just as bad as it was before persecuting them, because he was producing persecution. Okay? And walking, so let me continue, let me read this again. Then the churches throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, so the impact was big, okay, had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. This is New Testament. And they were walking in the fear of the Lord. Okay. And, and that one was making the difference. And the comfort. See, again, fear and rejoicing. Fear and comfort go together. Because it's God's presence that comes and is getting involved in there. Okay. Paul lacked wisdom. He had lots of zealous. Was zealous, but zealous. Jealousy doesn't do it. What does it is the wisdom of God. And wisdom is not things that men get. The only way to get wisdom is from God. There is no wisdom. The people that are wise in the world, they are the ones that produce more problems. Because, look at all the policies the politicians made today, these days. They think they know everything. They will do more damage. And this is record history all the time. When people try to get people that don't know what they're doing, they think that they know what they're doing just because they got some degrees or something like that. They produce problem more than benefit and solution. Hallelujah. And this is really goes along with the principle, okay, the pride goes before destruction, the Holy Spirit before the fall. Okay. Pride, arrogance, sin, an idea that I can do it. I don't need God. Okay. So I'm going to finish with this verse here, again from the New Testament. Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works both in you and will and do the things that with good pressures. Do all things without complaining and disputing. So the idea here is pretty simple. Okay. Is God our Savior? Is God the solution? Is God what we need to seek? Is God the one we have to fear? Because when we do wrong, God is not pleased with us. no matter what anybody says. God loves for us to change, but he is not going to change. We have to change. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. You get anything today? See, we can learn more from the fear of the Lord than from doing 100 Bible studies. Because we can do them and close our mind to the truth. Because we think and we have some theology that is deceptive. We have to have true understanding of the word to be able to receive from God. And that's what the fear of the Lord gives us. Because that opens up for correction. See, we are not perfect. We need to grow. You say, oh, you know, I'm going to grow so I don't have to have fear of the Lord. No, no, no. It's the opposite. The more you grow, and the stronger is going to be the fear of the Lord in you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's important to understand. You're not going to get rid of the fear of the Lord by, you know, growing up. No, you're going to be growing up because you have more of the fear of the Lord inside yourself. There are so many scriptures that it's almost difficult to put them all together to show the benefit that comes for something that has been ignored so much for such a long time. So let's pray. See, that is involved your decision here. Okay? There is a decision we had to make. Okay, the fear of the Lord has to be taught. We had to ask the Holy Spirit to teach us the fear of the Lord. Otherwise, we are not going to get it. If you want to get that benefit, you see, because it's against the flesh. The fear of the Lord is a spiritual position. That is going to make all the difference, even in practical things, because God is going to move supernaturally. And you know it's God because you do no effort. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to hear it and put it to work. In our life, let us be open to have in us the fear of the Lord, that we may seek your face, that we may be open for correction, that we may be able to hear your voice and to put the word in our life to make the difference and enable us to overcome our blindness, our darkness, our limitations, that your glory may be manifested in us, and Jesus may guide us into all freedom and an abundant life in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.